Tourism remains a critical economic driver in Hawaii. And while the largest markets are domestic visitors and the Japanese, there's been a bit of an obsession for many years about the potential of China. They still represent a very small percentage of visitors to Hawaii, and the numbers have actually dropped in recent years, well before the current trade dispute. HPR's Ryan Finity has done a little digging into those numbers and the story behind them, and he joins us with more. And Ryan, I was surprised to learn that Chinese tourism to Hawaii actually peaked back in 2015.
Yeah, that's right, Bill, at 173,000 annual visitors. So when you compare that to 10 million almost annual visitors to Hawaii now, what we're shooting for in 2019, pretty small percentage. Last year in 2018, it worked out to only be about 1.2% of total visitors to Hawaii were Chinese. And as you mentioned, that number has been falling, peaking in 2015. Last year, it was down to just over 120,000. So a pretty substantial decline from that peak in 2015. But as you mentioned, there's reason for people in the tourism industry to be interested in attracting Chinese visitors, because around the world, not just here in Hawaii, but in the United States more broadly and around the world, Chinese visitors spend more per day when they travel than almost any other group. Here in Hawaii, that works out to be about $350 per person per day, and that's well above any other group. The Japanese are usually the next highest, and they're substantially below the Chinese. And China has 1.4 billion people living in its country, the most populous on Earth. And so that's an enormous market for any industry, including tourism. And so people here are thinking that maybe they will be a major player in the Hawaii market someday. And I spoke with a man named Anu Anwar. He studies China at the Daniel K. Inouye Asia Pacific Center for Security Studies and the East-West Center, which are both here in Honolulu. And he studies China pretty extensively and a lot of factors of their economy. And he gave me one explanation for why Chinese travelers have become such a major economic force around the world in recent years.
850 million Chinese people leaped out of poverty. In 1980s, 88% Chinese people was living under poverty. And this percentage is down to less than 1% today. So people first leapt out of poverty, and then they enter into the middle class. So in 2002, only 4% Chinese was in the middle class. And this number is today now 35%, and constituting almost 500 million Chinese now living in the middle class.
Some pretty remarkable numbers there, worth repeating. 850 million Chinese citizens removed from poverty in the last 40 years, from almost 90% of the population to less than 1% today. And their Chinese middle class is larger than the entire population of the United States, 500 million people.
And that change, again, of 2002, only 4% of Chinese were in the middle class, and now it's up to 35%.
Huge.
That's
remarkable. And as we know, as in any other country, as in here in the United States, the middle class, people like to travel. They have a little bit more disposable income. And that's what Anu told me is the reason that they have now, they being Chinese travelers, have become such a major force in the global tourism industry.
If you take year 1997, only 5.3 million Chinese tourists took overseas trip. And now today, 140 million Chinese tourists per year took overseas trip, whose number is equal to total population of Russia.
Another pretty remarkable statistic. And so those 140 million, it's upwards of 150 million, it's looking like this year, 2019, they're worth, the latest estimate, $250 billion globally. They contribute to economies around the world. And what Anu said is that the leaders of the Chinese government in Beijing will sometimes use all that economic power as a tool to influence the actions of governments around the world. And he gives several examples of this. The earliest one was in the year 2000. when China restricted tourist flows to Turkey. It was trying to buy an old Soviet ship and turn it into an aircraft carrier for the Chinese Navy, and it had to transit from the Black Sea through the Strait of Bosphorus, which Turkey controls, and Turkey, as a NATO ally, kind of was pressured to not allow that, and China hit back with these sanctions on the tourism industry, and Turkey eventually relented and allowed the ship through. It's happened a lot in Asia as well. In last year, 2018, hundreds of flights from mainland China to Taiwan were canceled after some political disputes between those two governments. The year before that, 2017, annual Chinese visitors to South Korea dropped by 4 million in just 1 year after the South Korean government allowed the deployment of an American missile defense system to that country. China opposed. It's happened with Japan as well. And Anu says that we could be seeing this here in the United States, that there's been declines in Hawaii for several years. It's now starting, Chinese visitors to the United States are starting to decline more broadly starting last year. Fewer are coming to the United States. And Anu says this could be because the Chinese government is trying to steer its citizens away from visiting the United States because of this trade war. But he also said they've taken a more subtle approach than with some of these other examples. Rather than outright sanctions or restrictions, they've chosen instead to use some more subtle approaches, using state media to kind of portray America as a dangerous or unfriendly place to Chinese citizens, trying to get people to take their business elsewhere, basically.
Joseph Nye, a long time ago at Harvard, wrote famously about soft power, and this tourism as soft power doesn't often come up in that discussion, but certainly in terms of the Chinese dealing with it, that's one illustration of that. But also can have an impact on, as you, the illustrations that you gave regionally, but it's also the change in the behavior of consumers, as you've mentioned with Chinese tourists, as with many, as these develop and the middle class grows. The tendency is to travel first in groups. You saw this with the Japanese as well. And then tourists want to go on their own. And that's something that you're seeing with Chinese travelers as well.
Yeah, they're tending to move away, especially younger travelers, move away from the big tour groups, going individually. And that also means that they go to new destinations each time. So it's not going to be the same steady flow of repeat customers. And they're kind of in that same line of thought. There is a competing explanation for why the numbers of Chinese visitors are declining, and it's more of a free market one. I talked with Reen Ho Fung, who is the strategic advisor on China for the Hawaii Tourism Authority. She's based in Shanghai, and she says that 15 years ago, there were only 20 to 30 destinations approved by the Chinese government for its citizens to travel to, and the situation is much different today.
Now, today, we now have 150 destinations. You know, we are competing not just with countries, but there are also cities and states.
And she said there's also some more kind of logistical issues, like the cost of a visa. Chinese citizens have to pay to get a visa to the United States, even for a tourist visa. It's almost $200. They have to appear at a U.S. consulate or embassy to apply for one, whereas a lot of other countries will give Chinese citizens a free visa on arrival when they land in that country. So just small things like that that can make a big difference. Reen said the cost of a visa can be as much as 5% of the total cost of a trip for a Chinese visitor coming to the United States. So things like that serve as a deterrent, making other destinations relatively more attractive.
Interesting. And that visa waiver point for Hawaii in particular with South Korea, that made a huge difference when South Korea was put on the list for visa waivers in terms of then following growth of tourism from South Korea. But China, interesting on the visas and the interviews and the costs as well. A little more complicated of a story than at first blush.
Yeah, perhaps not as clear cut as what the talking points coming out of Washington might have you believe.
Ryan Farrandy, thanks for covering that, Ryan.
My pleasure, Bill.
Ryan Farrandy covers news and politics here at Hawaii Public Radio.